You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi everybody, Tim here, and I have Rodian mercenary Draco Revan with me. And Draco, what are you doing? Ow!
Shut up, Tim. Unless you want another blaster bolt to the kneecap, all they need to know is that they should check us out on iTunes and help me earn my thermal detonator.
For the love of Palpatine, please subscribe and leave a review. Oh!
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Star Wars Episode 3, Red City. A long night on the Malvo farm reveals hidden dangers of the desert night, as well as hidden delights of the Malvo farm. The crew of The Last Ride set about making a deal with Del Malvo and learn about a threat to the farm. The smugglers journey to Felina to seek the permission of Tir Dron, the Duros governor of Cassadine, to hold a meeting with Tana Vendweel on neutral ground, only to run into some old friends.
Okay, so as always, we will begin with the Destiny roll. Claire?
Whoa. Hold on a second. That was Cody, not me. What's your roll, Cody?
I got one dark side.
Shoot, I also got one dark side. You cursed me.
You're welcome.
Jeremy?
No. One dark side.
Oh, God.
Oh, and this is the night that stuff
Steve.
Goes down.
One dark.
Well.
So the Destiny point pool stands at 4 Destiny points, and all 4 are dark.
Because of the very dark ending last time.
Yeah.
Oh,
what was dark about it?
It was night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Also, everyone found out about that woman you apparently murdered at dinner time.
It was Draco in the dining room.
With a candlestick?
With a candlestick.
No, Hydra's banners.
It all makes sense.
Shoot. I haven't got a vibro knife yet.
That's
why we said Hydra's banner.
Wait, yeah. What do I have? I kind of forgot.
So the scene opens with a scream, and it shows, and it's that blood-curdling female scream. And we see a young Draco, young Rodian boy, in an alley. He's kind of crouched against a trash receptacle and the wall, hiding. And a blaster fight has opened up in the alley, so he's kind of in the middle of the crossfire, along with two rivals. Gangs that stand at either end of the alley shooting each other, and there are other people in the crossfire with Draco, and they're taking cover just like him. Now, he's a young boy, and these people are adults. One gang is a group of the Clatooinians, which are the bulldog-looking kind of guys, Nyctos and Rodians. On one end of the spectrum, and on the other side, you have humans and some Weequay, and they're basically taking shots at each other until finally the humans and the Weequay emerge victorious by basically killing the other group that they're trading shots with. And as they're walking through, they proceed to the bodies of the people that they've just dropped, walking right by Draco. A couple of the Weequay stop kind of midway through the alley, so they're kind of lined up with this young Draco. As the rest of the guys go up and proceed to check these guys, and you hear one guy say, "Yeah, they've got it right here," and he pulls up a briefcase and he goes, "You know, it's really rough looking briefcase, but it's a briefcase." He says in basic, "You know, we got it. We'll take this back to Mohan. All will be good." Now, looking at these guys, they're not dressed like super nice, but they're definitely dressed nicer than Draco. And it's probably at this point that Draco realizes his dream of becoming a crime boss, a crime lord. So his obligation has triggered, and because of this memory and where he wants to be in the grand scheme of things versus where he is right now, is causing some pretty good stress. So he suffers a 2-point strain reduction, and as this plays out, as he expresses however he's acting, it puts you guys on edge because he's going to be acting different about that stuff. It's going to cause you all to suffer a 1-point strain reduction for the rest of this episode. As those people walk by, the one guy, the Weequay that's standing there by Draco, there's a woman who's kind of trying to crawl away, and the Weequay brings his blaster to bear and points it at her head and says, "And you told them we were coming." And the woman screams a blood-curdling scream as he squeezes off a blaster bolt. The scream coincides with the scream on Cassadine on the Malvo farm where you guys are now. So there's like that transition. Everybody at the table, especially the 5 or the 6 guards, the son-in-law and the 5 normal guards, you know, they're all up. Klain, the son-in-law, says, "I knew we should have kept somebody on the wall." Dale's like, no, it's okay. Just go check. It's just sand maidens. Just make sure they're not trying to get into the compound." Dale, the son-in-law, and the 5 guards immediately, you know, basically run out of the room. And of course, you guys are free to follow.
When the scream lets out, I stand up like just so fast it kind of knocks the chair back.
Sure, and whatever you've got in your lap falls out.
Yeah, I'll put on my shield and go after and see what's going on.
Okay, so anybody else going to follow these guys? Immediately, Borina, which is Dale's wife, immediately starts shutting the windows, you know, making sure that everything's locked down in here. And she, you know, people can leave, but she's closing the windows so that nothing can get in.
All right, you guys better check it out. Yeah. I'll stay here and check the women.
And the children?
Good thinking.
Yes, them too.
Yeah, the children look fairly fearful, like the young 10-year-old little girl runs to her, what you assume is her mom, and grabs her arm and holds on for dear life as everybody else runs out. Dale is, he lets Vog through before he leaves Draco, and he points to Lan, and says, "Lan, lock the door and don't let anybody or don't let anything in unless you hear people say, 'Let me in.'"
You got it.
And then he runs off.
What does he mean? What does he mean? What is a sand maiden?
I don't know.
What? Someone screamed out there. Should I go? Should I stay here and help the... Lan, what should I do?
Go.
Go?
Go.
Are you going to be all right?
Yes, I'll be fine.
Okay, I'm going to go. And he just bolts out the door. Well, then he comes back and then he puts the drink back on the table and then he goes.
And then he comes back and finishes the drink.
Yes, because he got thirsty.
I'm going to need this. It's hot out there. Lots of running.
Right. Outside, of course, it's dusk. It's getting dark. It's not like pitch black or anything, but it's dark. You can see the guys hitting the watchtowers. They run to the ladders, climb up the ladders, and immediately pull out binoculars and begin to look out over the horizon and down everywhere. And you guys can do the same, climb up there with them. And, you know, in the darkness, you really can't see a whole lot. And the guys look, and you see Dale. He's got his binoculars, and he's looking. He goes, "Right there. Yep. I mean, we knew it, but there she is." Here he goes, "Look, right here." He hands Vog the binoculars and points you in the right direction.
All right, I'll take a look. Scan.
So you're looking, and at first you don't really see anything, and then you can see something moving through the way there's some kind of rocky outcroppings. You begin to see something moving, and you can zoom in with the binocs and see exactly what you're talking or what he's pointing at. And this looks like it has a panther or lion type build, but it's scaly, and you have night vision goggles, so you can make out some details. And down its back, think of a Nexu almost, the cat from Attack of the Clones, with the broad multi-eyed face.
Yeah, I got you.
Think of something like that, but instead of it being all fur, it's scaly. It's almost got like a hammerhead kind of head with eyes set on the outside and then eyes set all around the front of the face. And it's got just a big maw of teeth, and it's a really broad. When it moves, it swings its head very wide from left to right.
A scanning kind of
switch. And it moves almost like a shark would move in quick, long, sharp movements. As you're looking at it, it's big. It's bigger than you.
That's big.
It's probably big enough to ride if you wanted to. And it's got this stripe of fur all the way down its back. And it stops and it kind of raises its head up. And it keeps a low profile, but it kind of raises its head up. And you see it's got these flaps where its nose is. It kind of does something kind of quivery with those flaps. And it opens its mouth and it screams. And it looks to you like somebody has superimposed a human woman screaming over the sound that it should be making. And it just screams out. Your first instinct, go ahead and make me average discipline check.
Oh, I fail. There's no way.
All three of you.
There's
Draco,
no way.
Risker, and Vog.
I didn't fail it, but I got two disadvantages.
So you succeeded, but you have two advantages.
Disadvantages.
I mean threats.
Threats. Shoot, I'm sorry. He's gonna kill me for that now. You guys don't know about the beating.
You will find out, though. What'd you get, Vog?
Three failures.
Three failures. And Draco?
Canceled out.
So you failed.
Huh?
You failed. If you don't get any successes, you fail.
Huh.
You have to succeed.
But
to succeed.
Succeed.
It's not much of a failure, as you're just kind of like, eh.
Okay.
So you, Draco fails, Vog fails.
I succeeded.
Fantastically.
I also have many, I have two threats.
Okay, so it's not end of the world kind of thing. You guys have this, and due to distance, but you have this overwhelming desire to run out there and help that poor woman. You cannot help it. I mean, it's like instinct. You're immediately like grabbing the rail, mm-hmm. and you're almost willing to jump over the compound wall to get to this woman to help her. And as you start to, Dale, who's standing right beside you, Vog, reaches up with a hand, and he can't stop. Right. Because you're way too big, but the hand is enough to get your attention. Right. And he's like, "Whoa, big guy, wait, you don't need to go out there. That thing will eat you alive." And then anybody else, you guys who failed, would want to make a move to help. And like Draco goes and like two guys grab your arm and you're like, "Whoa," as you snap to.
What was that?
It's that sand maiden out there. They're sirens of the desert. They will lure you to your doom. They come around at night.
He just kind of snarls his nose. He looks really kind of shaken up after that.
Now, we're going to see what we can do about running it off, though. McLean pulls out a blaster rifle, takes aim, squeezes off a couple of blasts from the rifle. He hits it once. Well, actually, he hits the ground in front of it, which causes its profile to get bigger because it kind of rears up. And then he takes a shot, hits it in the shoulder. It runs off into the dark further out. All the time, you can hear it calling out like a human woman.
I don't like these things. They make me uncomfortable, for reals.
For real?
For real.
Do you have no clue what kind of compliment that is?
Oh, God, it's just not creepy. I don't like things that have, like, voices that don't belong to them.
It's some kind of mimicry ability they developed when they realized, I mean, they're not smart or anything, but they're smart enough to hunt people. And they lure people out into the desert and eat them.
The only thing that's keeping me feeling okay is that I'm just keep imagining like screaming goats, and that makes me feel a little bit better.
Mountain lions sound, it has that same effect. I don't know if they do it intentionally. They're not that advanced, but people have gone out thinking there's somebody hurt out there and found themselves a mountain lion.
I'm gonna hide behind Vog because that's scary.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say everything here on Cassadine is evolved to hurt you, but you have to remember, like I said earlier, everything here is the apex of its domain, except for us, maybe.
I take it all back. Lovely place you have here.
Oh, I'm glad you like it. And he kind of gives a sarcastic smirk like he's in on the joke. Yeah. I would say it would be easier to live in town and Felina, but not really sure that it is.
Any chance you think he's going to come back tonight? Or?
Very doubtful. I think we're okay tonight.
How often does this happen?
I don't know. Maybe we haven't seen one in maybe a month or so.
Coming like once? Like that?
No, not necessarily. That could be a... There could be a whole pride of them out there somewhere. You see, they're drawn to the noise. You're in the middle of the desert. You don't hear anything at night. And then you stumble upon a sound of generators and you see lights off in the distance like we have here. And they come in and then you're able to snatch somebody. You know, a few years ago, we lost a guy to one. He went out to fix one of the sensors and it was getting dark and couldn't make it back before it got completely dark. And they ate him. So they started associating people with food. It's not uncommon.
I don't think I want to be outside at night anymore.
It's very difficult for them to get in. The mistake we made tonight was, I'm not even sure if it was really a mistake because it would have come around anyway, but, you know, we didn't have anybody in the towers we were celebrating.
At least it was just that, nothing that could shoot back. Should be thankful for that, at least.
Yeah, it's true. Most of those guys probably would come in the day. They're a little...
For the same reason that we wouldn't go.
Right. We wouldn't go out. Right. Could you imagine me standing out there trying to shoot us off of the guard tower and then a pride of those things come up? That would be rather humorous.
Just desserts, wouldn't it?
One can always hope, I guess. No, I'm joking. I don't like to see anybody hurt. So let's go back inside. Clayne, can you set up a security detail here and just in case? You could probably send out a couple of probe droids and see if there's anything still lurking out there. So we'll go back inside if you guys want to.
Yes.
So you get a knock on the door. Hey, Lan, this is Dale. All's good.
I'll open the door.
And his wife rushes to him.
Sandmaiden rushes in.
No. Right.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, if they learn that, oh my God. Sandmaiden shark.
It's standing on its hind legs. Hi, Lan.
Hi. It tries to get through the door, but its hammerhead hits it.
Then has to turn it sideways. So you can see that the people in here are very concerned. And even like Dale's wife is like, what was it, a sand maiden? You know, she's pretty emotional about it. And he's like, yeah, but we ran it off. I've got Clayne and setting up the security for the rest of the night. We'll have to pull double duty or something just in case.
So can those things get over the wall?
That's unlikely, especially if we're on guard.
They were huge, Lan. Huge. Bigger than Va. And they had these like eyes and
He goes and sits down and just quietly sips his thing.
So everything's okay then, Dale?
For now. I mean, it's hard to say. We just have to keep an eye on stuff. That don't mean we can't at least enjoy the rest of this water. We're not going to waste it.
No.
You guys can have, you know, a couple more tumblers full of water and clean out your sand-filled mouths and have a good time. As it gets later, you guys are still, you know, small talking or whatnot. He eventually asks you guys, are you staying? You guys going to stay here? You're more than welcome to. We'll put you up in one of the bunk houses, or you're going to go back to your ship, or...
Was it safe to walk back to the ship?
Well, I mean, really nothing around here is that safe, but...
We're parked outside the wall, aren't we?
Exactly.
You probably could, or we can drive you out. It just depends on what you want to do. And again, it doesn't matter.
All right. I want to make it known that, like, Riskers, as soon as he remembers that we're parked out, he gives him a look like, please don't make us go out there. Don't do it. I will cry.
And he whines.
Big puppy dog.
Okay, guys. If you're willing to put us up for the night, we can stay here.
I think I'm going to go to the ship.
Or we can go to the ship.
But
I can go.
By yourself? You saw the thing? Stop.
I'd sleep better on the ship anyway. I'll go make sure he gets there.
All right. Dr. Risker and I can stay.
I'm going to grab a jug of that ooch stuff that they brought in.
Right. Draco and Vogue are able to make it back to the ship.
Right.
Unaccosted. Nothing spectacular.
Get drunk and play sabacc.
Right. You guys are out there. For Risker and Lan, Drod, which is Dale's middle son, Dale's like, hey, take these two to the spare bunkhouse and, you know, put them in there and let them sleep in there. You guys are taken out there, and the boy's talking to you as you walk. He looks like he's about 17-ish. You know, he's trying to make small talk, but I don't think he's ever talked to an actual spacer before, somebody who does what you guys do for a living. So he's a little excited about it. He talks more to Lan than he does Risker for
every time.
Sanitary reasons.
Every time.
Sanitary.
You roll in the dirt once and nobody lets you live it down.
That's how you bathe. Let me wash my hands.
Especially around here.
Yeah.
Right? But he's telling you, you know, we used to have more people here, and then you know, some of them left and for various reasons. And so now we've started replacing them with the droids to work the fields. And this bunkhouse right here is completely, it's not used at all for anything. So Dad's thinking about tearing it down and building something else here, or maybe even trying to get more crops to grow over here. But I don't really know. He's been saying that for a couple of years now, so I don't know if he's really going to do it or not. But he lets you guys in. It's a bunkhouse. It's like a big open barracks with rows upon rows of beds where they had more living people here at one time. You just pick a place, and there you are. I think there's linens in the back room back there. You can, you know, get blankets and sheets and that kind of stuff. Sleep tight. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Next morning, you guys are up. Of course, the farm has been going.
I'm probably not up.
Well, the farm's been going on. It's been active since before even the earliest one of you guys, before you guys get up.
Right.
It's been
going on. Farmhand.
Right. And what you've got, you know, out there is these guys are checking. They do it real early because really what do you have to do on a farm of where you're draining water from a cacti? Make sure the things are are connected and working and everything. Yeah. And they've got like a couple of droids out there that are doing their thing. And you see some guys have one of the hydro, I don't even know what they're called, but he's got some of the pumps busted open and there's a couple guys working on it. And you guys, you know, make it to one of the, basically the place where you guys can get a breakfast that they have.
Good. That's where I'm going first.
Yep. And the majority of it is leftover stuff from last night, which I wanted to point out last night. And we got interrupted by that sand maiden, but the cactus that you guys were eating is probably some of the best stuff you've ever ate.
Cactuses?
Yes.
I would imagine it tastes like old shoe leather.
Mm-mm. But however they've prepared it and whatever they've marinated it in, it's real sweet. It's succulent. It's like nothing like you've ever had. And it doesn't have the flavor, but it has the consistency of an orange, the way they've cooked it. And it's very good.
Who made this?
The Barina did, the wife.
She present for breakfast, I imagine.
She's probably getting started on the lunch stuff, but she's probably around there somewhere.
So how do you prepare cactus? Can't be the easiest thing to prepare in the world, what with the pins and everything. So
well, Cody's looking at me like he's caught me in something. Like, go ahead, Tim. Tell us, how does this woman prepare a made-up food? Tell me, won't you?
Not my intention at all.
Right.
I've watched enough cooking shows to know how this works. It's magic and pixie dust and a lot of swear words.
The secret ingredient
is love.
Or something like that.
Really? Well, see, we've been chopping up these flowers.
Oh, my God. It marinate. You just marinate cactus. I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah, she gives you the recipe. Like, yeah, she gives you the recipe for the marinade.
All right, I write it. I put it in my data pad.
Right. You know, tells you how long to marinate it for and what to cook it on.
Slow down. I've only got three fingers. not a fast typer.
But she gives you the entire rundown on how to make it. And she says, I'm really glad that you liked it. I really thought you would be more of a meat eater, because
I am, but this is, that doesn't mean that I can't enjoy a fine meal, no matter what it's made of.
So you guys are able to make it wherever you need to be.
I'm still passed out on the ship. I drank a whole thing of hooch.
I can't believe he drank the whole thing.
Right. Lan and Risker are able to gather at breakfast, and Vog is already there. Again, most of the stuff they have this morning is leftovers from last night, with the absence of water.
Because water's a treat.
It is. They've only got so much of it. They got to water it down with other stuff.
We're going to water it down with
alcohol.
Yeah, with alcohol, which is the opposite of most planets, I guess.
Yeah, so.
True.
Right. Yeah, he'll take a plate of the cacti, I guess, and just kind of slowly eat and rub his eyes. And
you guys eating? Anything else y'all need to talk about? You guys need to talk to Dale at some point about the plant.
Yeah, so I probably would have brought my lake experiment with me.
Okay, so when you guys go to find Dale, he's up on the wall with the guards, a couple of the guards from last night. They're scanning the horizon with their binoculars, looking around, making sure there's nothing out there.
So, you have a few minutes?
Oh, he turns, good morning, how are you guys? You sleep well?
Yeah,
I did.
No.
No?
No.
You stayed in the bunkhouse, right?
It was a nice accommodation. Sand maidens. And he kind of just like looks off into the distance, just like zoned out, thinking really hard, like on his life choices kind of thinking.
They rattled him a little bit last
I see that.
It's okay. He'll be fine.
It happens. I mean, they're dangerous creatures. Probably next to the Scorn, I'd probably say they're the most dangerous thing here.
They'll have to just deal with being in second place until they start picking up blasters and speeder bikes.
So, yeah, I've got a minute. What's up?
You know, we talked a little bit yesterday about some of the issues that you're having. Of course, we would love to be able to help. We're not totally sure what we can do for you. Like I told you before, we're not mercenaries. We're right. merchants. But we're willing to do what we can. We're thinking maybe we could go talk to these other guys and see if we can talk them into getting off your back a little bit.
Okay.
That is your end goal at this point, right? Just to have them to leave you alone.
That would be nice. That would be very nice. And what is this help going to cost?
Well, right now, we're really interested in getting this plant into the right hands. If we can make your farm safe, that makes our business opportunity that much the greater.
Okay.
So we're willing to go do this for 50% of the pharmaceutical profits.
Once we get there.
Once you get there.
Provided we get there. Because what about your little experiments? What conclusion did we come to there?
Oh, okay. There is a profit in it. It's how do I word this so he can understand it?
It's very good at dulling pain.
Yes.
So for anesthesia, surgery, that sort of thing.
It would prolong because of the distance between bigger areas, you know, like the cities far away where you can get appropriate attention. It would be able to prolong the patient's lifespan until you reach that point. It can also help with intensive surgeries and dulling pain and such.
Do, in an effort for this to be profitable for both of us, and for me, it's really just, I mean, I'm already making a living from the water, so it's just subsidizing my whatever profits I can get, splitting it with you. Will there be enough crop here to make it worth our effort?
Well, you're just throwing it away now.
Right. Okay. I'll tell you what. If you can address our issue, and it's our issue now, mine, the farm, and the crew of your ship, if you can address that issue and we can get the right people who are willing to turn this stuff into the right thing, I don't see why we couldn't work. I think I'm good with that deal.
Great. You know, for just going and talking, I think that's sufficient.
Okay.
What do you know about these guys?
Well, they're led by a fella named Tonovan Dweel. Twi'lek fella. He's pretty cutthroat. He operates out of Yuma, which is town north of here. Way north.
I'm sorry. What was the gentleman's name?
Tonovan. He's basically the equivalent to what Tyr does in Felina, except he oversees all of Yuma. He's a lot more hands-on, a little more capable.
Because
he's not a drunk, right?
Do you think you'd be able to set up a meet with him?
I'm sure he'll be more than willing to talk, especially if he thinks it's going to involve him gaining possession of this farm. I mean, he's given me a time frame to where we hand over basically everything to him or things are going to get ugly, as he put it. And I don't want things getting ugly. They're ugly enough as it is now. So, yeah. And like I said, he controls three more farms up the river here that are built along the river. Patches of the cacti and people built farms around them. So, but he controls those farms.
I don't know if going into Felina would be a good idea.
Yuma.
Sorry.
Maybe one of the farms.
Yeah.
Remember, he controls those farms. Those aren't neutral territory.
That's true.
They may be better as far as there not being people around, but I think when you're on those farms,
probably it'd be less safe in the city. I think
you're right. I think it would be less safe because he can do whatever he wants there. And all those guys on those farms are armed mercenaries types. So I don't know. That sounds dangerous to me, but
I think the city's probably the best place. Somewhere public and safe.
Would someplace more neutral be better? What about in Felina? Have him come to Felina and meet there instead. If you're not on his turf and you're not on yours, it's completely neutral.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Should we run that by our tier?
Well, you would definitely want to get his blessing right. on it. I mean, yeah, he's a drunk. He's not incompetent. Right. And he's not an idiot.
Run that by him before we start making decisions on who we're inviting into his turf.
Right.
Okay.
You guys can take one of the speeders if you want. We're going to be business partners after all, right?
Absolutely.
And he smiles like he's kind of proud of where you are now. At the prospect of taking care of a problem and then another prospect of bringing in a little credits, you know, he seems like he's a little, yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm happy about this. I feel good about it.
It'll be exciting.
Then we can fly over to Felina and talk to Tyr.
Oh, I don't think he's going to make us drink again, do you think?
Probably.
I'll get the liver capsules.
We got to take the speeder or the...
We'll just take the ship.
Nah.
Well, therefore, you don't have to pay docking fees and stuff. And
we'll take the speeder.
Right.
Waste your fuel.
I was thinking the fuel consumption.
Out of character, I've toyed with ideas of tracking basic fuel, and there's some rules for it in other versions of Star Wars, but I'm just assuming that your docking fees include refueling and restocking the refrigerator to some extent, just to make things simple.
Right.
All right, so we're going to take the speeder to Felina to talk to Tyr about setting up a meeting.
Okay, sounds good. So the screen will wipe and we'll see the land speeder, the 8-person seater, because there's 4 of you, can't fit 4 people in a 2-seater. So when you guys get into town, it's Felina. It's got all the canopies. The town's built up kind of like a pyramid, the way the buildings are built. And you guys work your way through the darkened alleys as you get deeper into the city. Multiple canopies overhead cause it to get dark. Darker and cooler down here. You guys pass by a couple of folks. You know, it's middle of the day. Well, no, this is early morning when you guys get there. So people are either gravitating towards the center of town or they're leaving the city streets in general as the day goes on. As it gets hotter and hotter, they tend to disappear. But you pass a couple of gold-eyed Arcona that are kind of in the corner down one of the alleys, you know, and they're just kind of like hobos leaned up against the building, and they're just... You can tell they're not focused on anything as you guys walk by. One of them, you know, looks up with pleading eyes and holds out a shaky hand like he's looking for a handout.
I'll slap his hand away.
Yeah, he pulls his hand away and he tries to focus on you, but obviously can't. But you guys eventually make your way
I'll wait until he's walked away further and I'll drop him a handful of credits.
So he holds his hand out and Draco kind of smacks it, but it just kind of flops back into the position it was. Draco walks on and you hang back for just a second and you put coins in his hand. When you do, he kind of grasps your hand with his outstretched hand and puts his other hand on top of yours and kind of pats you. And you can tell he's trying to look at you, but he can't really focus. And he's like, he mumbles in basic, "Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, brother." Immediately starts counting his credits as you guys move on. You make your way to the establishment known as the Crystal Palace. Middle of the day, the place is starting to fill up. It's not like maybe half full. And you can see right when you walk in, up on the stage, a musical number begins. This is a very, very scantily clad, like a silk kind of dress, Togruta, which are the chicks with the tails and the white faces with the patterns on them, like Ahsoka Tano. She was one of the Jedi Masters in the Revenge of the Sith. But she walks out in this slinky dress. You have kind of like a band that's kind of back behind her, and they begin to play a real low melody kind of song. And she starts singing in basic this kind of love song about why you always treat me bad, you know, when I love you so much. Kind of basically that's the whole mentality of the song. And it's real sultry and real deep and seductive. And you guys actually kind of find yourself just standing in the door watching her till one guy is over at the bar. He goes, "Hey, shut that door." And you're like, "Oh," and you snap out of whatever and shut the door behind you when you guys walk in. Tyr is here. He's sitting at a big round table with a couple of his business partners, you assume. And then there's a couple of no neck, muscly thugs that are standing there to keep people from getting up onto the platform with him.
I'll stand there and wait for him.
He continues his discussion. He's paying no attention to the lady that's singing whatsoever. The one thing you notice about her too is that she's wearing some kind of, it's the only thing that stands out. She's wearing like some kind of thick leather collar, little mechanical device attached to it. Not really sure what that's about, but she's got one.
I think I got a probably pretty good guess.
You've probably seen such things before. He finishes whatever he's talking about. He makes eye contact with Lan. Looks like, you know, what's up? Kind of confused look, but then he motions you up and the guards let you guys in.
Tyr, pleasure to see you again.
My friend, how are you? I thought you guys left town.
Well, you know, we're always moving around. Things come up, opportunities arise, and you just never know where you find us.
Right? Draco, you cannot help but feel a wash of envy as you are seeing this guy. He seems untouchable. He does whatever he wants. It's this glamorous lifestyle that you so long to live. You know, you just feel it. You're like, man, I wished I owned people and called the shots in town and did all these other things like this guy does. And you just can't help but feel a big wash of envy. What can I do for you exactly? Because I'm sure this isn't a social visit and he looks hopeful. Or is it? Is this a social visit?
He's just looking for friends.
Well, you know what? I always mix business and pleasure. So
me too. I love it.
We can make this a social visit and a business visit at the same time.
Good deal. I'll buy the drinks.
Yay!
I'm still hungover from last night.
I got a thing going with the Malvo Farm.
Why?
You know, just looking for opportunities.
At the Malvo Farm?
Sure.
You know they're under siege, right?
Right, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. What's your stance on that? I mean, what's Felina's outlook?
My name's Bennett, and I ain't in it. I stay away from that kind of stuff. I don't want to turf war with, or do I? Sometimes I do.
Because I'm an angry drunk.
Well, sometimes I'm an angry drunk, sure. Well, here's the thing. The guys up in Yuma are looking to assume control of the Malvo Farm, and they're turning, the flowers or some crap or the cactus into spice, maybe. I don't know. So they're wanting that farm.
Right. Well, you know, I'd kind of like to talk to Ton a bit about that and see maybe if we can work something out where he'll back off Dale a little bit.
I mean, you can talk to him. I don't think he's gonna. They really want that farm, I think.
What do you think it would take to back him off?
Well, you could always kill him. That's the easiest way, even though it's probably the hardest way, but it's going to be the more permanent solution.
Yeah, I'm really not comfortable with that.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, you guys aren't the most cutthroat, mercenary-looking people I've ever seen. You're smugglers for Palpatine's sake.
Exactly.
So, I couldn't tell you. You could talk to him.
Okay.
See what he offers. I can tell you now that if I wanted that farm myself, you'd probably have to take down my whole outfit to stop me. But that's me. Ah, drinks! The server comes up with a round of drinks for everybody.
Yay!
At moments like that, you're like, I'm kind of glad he's on our side for right now.
Well, here's what we're thinking. We would like to talk to Tonovan here in Felina.
Interesting.
You know, it's neutral.
I understand. Totally understand. Good business move. But since it is business, what does that mean for Tyr? And what does that mean for Felina? That's a conundrum, isn't it?
Not really.
No?
Because, you know, good relations with the Malvos can work into all kinds of possibilities down there.
The washed-up senator who had to come home to... And he looks around to this.
Well, I like to think of it as got to come home. He seems to be happy. Even washed-up senators still have friends.
He has a look on his face like he had never thought of that. You, Captain Kai, you might be onto something there. I can tell you now, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for it being my assignment.
Your assignment.
I'm afraid I've been, banished. You know, make some mistakes, and boss don't like the mistakes you make, so they put you here to run this part of the operation.
Well, at least you're alive, man. That's all I can say.
That is the better of the two options.
He points at Vog in total agreement and says, you are right, sir. Totally right. I could be dead, because, to be honest, I don't know how I'm not. My boss doesn't play.
Well, you must have done something good for him down the line.
Till I messed up.
Hey, let's not think about that. Let's think about future possibilities and what we're going to do going forward.
Okay, so let's talk about those. You want to have a meeting with these guys, and I'm okay with that. So you have my blessing to have this meeting here in Felina.
Thank you.
And the music number in the background ends, and, you know, you've got a bar full of, or a cantina full of drunks who really like this particular performer. So the roar is almost deafening, where you really have to wait for them to stop before you can talk again. The lady on stage says, I will take a 10-minute break, and you guys have drinks, and I'll be right back. And she walks off stage and comes over to the table where you guys are. Tyr looks at the guy to his right. The guy just gets up and moves over a seat as the Togruta sits down beside him.
All right, as she sits down, your performance was incredible.
She smiles and says, and her accent is pretty thick. It's hard to tell when she was singing, but now that she's using her speaking voice, you know, she's got a real strong accent. I'm not going to try to duplicate it because I would just butcher it, but, you know, she doesn't have like the southern slang that we have. She's got her own accent there that's indicative of her people. She thanks you very much and, you know, just smiles like tears like, yeah, okay. So let's talk. You're going to have the meeting here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at him and kind of puts out a pouty lip and crosses her arm like she's been slighted. And now that you're close, you can see that device on her neck. It's got a couple of different lights that are blinking real low. And you can tell it's got a lock on the back. You can tell that.
Yeah, Vog shifts real uncomfortably when she comes over. He kind of, you know, he has a hard time staying in his seat. He almost, you know, you can tell he's visibly like
uncomfortable. Right. Okay. All right. Do you have any idea where here in Fellini you want to do this?
No, I'm not real familiar with the town. What would you suggest?
Probably at the port, maybe one of the landing bays or one of the warehouses that are over there.
Okay.
That's what I would suggest, I think. Yeah.
All right. I'll make the arrangements. I appreciate it.
Yep. If you need anything, let me know. I'll see what I can do.
All right. And if you need anything moved, let me know.
Yes,
take care of it.
You are smugglers. I knew that. Very good. I will.
We'll quit wasting your time.
Please stay. Okay. You haven't even drank any of your drink.
I'll stay.
That I've so graciously offered.
Yeah, I slam one back. I just
one way to get rid of a hangover.
Is to start another drunk.
You can't get a hangover if you never stop drinking. Don't do kids drugs.
Right.
I'll drink.
Good. You guys, he's not expecting you to stay here and get hammered or anything like the last time you guys were here. But, you know, plot drink. As you guys are drinking, yes, the door opens with some new patrons. You guys kind of, as with most places like this, when doors open, you know, and there's a blast of sand and heat from the outside, one or all of you may glance towards the door. You see a Weequay enter, missing his right eye, and he's got no hair. And with him, and they're talking kind of loud and, you know, slapping each other on the back and stuff, is a Gran. And then a couple of thugs come in.
Look kind of familiar.
They look very familiar. As, you know, they stretch out their arms and look about the room, and the Gran and the Weequay are kind of talking over the roar of the crowd. There's not a whole lot that you can hear them talking about. When the Weequay looks up towards your direction and nudges the Gran and kind of, you know, motions up there, he looks with his three eye stalks, the Gran does, and is like, just shakes his head in recognition, and the Weequay waves at you guys and smirks.
I wave back happily. Hi!
He points at you in recognition, and they go have a seat.
Do I know them?
I don't know. Do we know them?
Wait, does Jeremy not remember them?
It's the guys from the...
I know who they are. Ritzker's doesn't.
Lan remembers who they are. He's just trying to not
remember who they are.
Right.
Well, they were waving, so yeah. I went back.
Tyr looks really confused for a second, and he leans in, and he's like, you know those guys?
No. Okay. Well, I mean, maybe. They
sure act like they know you.
Maybe we met them in passing?
That's the best way to put it. We've crossed paths.
Okay. Those are paths I wouldn't necessarily want to cross, but...
Why?
They're part of Talos Keyes's crew.
Does that name ring a bell for anybody?
Let me see.
Yeah, he was the captain of that ship. Because these two guys, they piloted the Reaver and the Corsair. Yeah.
They're the captains.
There was Talo Kiza and Captain Ozala.
That's right.
Kiza is the guy that owns them.
Oh, yeah. He's the
owner, registered owner.
Captain Ozawa was the Corsair and Elko was the Reaver. I don't think we ever met Kiza because I don't think he was there.
Mm-hmm. That'd be streetwise?
It'd be underworld.
I don't know.
Oh, people. Knowledge underworld.
Yep, and it would be hard.
Three.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a boost because he's infamous.
I got an advantage.
Why isn't Lan rolling? Aren't you crooked and corrupted?
Whoa.
Sorry.
You talk in your sleep. Sorry.
The pillow talk, man. Pillow talk.
Got three failures and three advantages.
The advantage.
Oh.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. What did you get? Three failures?
And three advantages.
Oh, never mind. It won't work.
So you got three advantages and you got one advantage. All right. So is there any way you would like to... I mean, remember, you failed the roll.
Right.
But is there any ideas about the advantages that you would like to use?
You remember him as someone else.
Well, that would be a threat.
I know. I wish you'd gotten that.
With the advantages, it would be something popular or something positive.
Hey, man, no, I know that's Scarred Grand.
I've got nothing on it.
He's an opera singer from this.
From Chiliax.
Yeah, that's it. So.
Yes, oh, man, yes, he has a beautiful voice.
You don't know who he is, but you do recall something about seeing that name on the news and something about that name on like certain systems that you enter. The system broadcasts a message to all incoming ships like you got when you came here that kind of gives you updates on what's going on, the local weather, that kind of stuff, about alerts about him. You don't remember exactly what it was, but you do remember that whatever they were alerting you about him was something that he had done that was really bad. You're not sure. So the look on your face, you obviously don't recognize the name. So Tyr continues by saying, you know, the pirate, Talos.
We thought they were salvage people.
Well, I mean, I thought you guys were smugglers too, but sometimes you turn out to be different than just smugglers. I mean, you're telling me you're smugglers now, but you wouldn't turn down an easy, I don't know, bodyguard job or
sure.
something else, right? I mean, you're getting in the pharmaceutical business, and that don't have anything to do with necessarily smuggling.
Whoa. We didn't tell him that.
Did you not?
No.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
No. Tyr doesn't.
Well, he's pretty smart, too. He might be assuming because you're
probably invested in the flowers in some way.
Your sudden interest in the one of the Malvo farms is just right. Weird, and he's not probably not a total idiot.
I don't
know if he would say pharmaceuticals.
What is he
though?
Trying to say? Is he judging us by looks because we're a Rhodian and a scrangy looking Bothan and a Trandoshan?
I'm just saying that you're going to take opportunities as they present themselves outside of the smuggling racket. I'm sure.
You gotta eat.
So, you know, Talos is one of his safe ports of harbor, so his crew comes here often. You know, I know those guys. They're pretty bad news.
I'm not going to wave at them anymore.
Well, that would be weird because you wave. Never mind. Just never mind. So, did y'all make friends with them or something?
That's one way to put it, yeah.
Well, obviously you didn't make real good friends, or both groups are in the same spot.
I think we mutually benefited from the arrangement we made.
Very, very, very good answer, sir. Yeah, you guys from Coruscant you're so slick. I bet you don't even get wet when it rains if you were on a planet where it rained.
I slam back another drink.
Yeah. Bam!
Probably on my third or fourth by now.
You've got to have that many to get the feeling, yeah, right?
We should go say hi. It would be rude not to.
Should we? I mean, they look like they're
I'm in a mood.
They're half. Oh.
Might not be the best.
Great. Today, Draco's in a mood. Everybody.
Great.
Watch out!
What kind of mood are you in, Draco?
Very agitated mood.
Well, he's hungover and he had to start drinking again. Okay.
I'm upset because I'm still poor.
That's right. You are in a mood. You could be sitting here at this table bossing other people around, but instead, you're living at the bottom.
Yep.
I just want to be friendly. I think it'd be nice to... I mean, they waved. It would be rude not to go over and have a nice little chat when, you know, their fighting frigate isn't sitting around in front of us.
Well, Lan, you're the conversationalist. You should probably
There's at least 8 more somewhere else.
That somewhere else ain't here.
Tyr steeples his fingers, looks in and leans in and looks expectantly at Draco like, you know, like, what are you going to do kind of look.
Don't want to tear your place up, man.
Take them in the alley.
What? Oh, no.
Kill them in the alley.
Whoa. Kill? I don't know if we're talking about killing anybody here. The guy
I misunderstood what saying hello was all about.
The guy that yelled at us to shut the door earlier?
He's the bartender, basically.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're going to need another round of drinks.
Well, why? Why are we going to need another round of drinks? What's going on?
I'm thirsty.
Oh, okay.
Going to walk past him to the door, walk out.
Yeah, as you walk by, make me an easy perception check. But I'm going to have to give you a setback because of the crowd of folks in here.
Has the woman taken back to singing at this point? Or?
She's getting kind of fidgety. And
made a failure and an advantage.
Oh, I thought she was back on the stage.
Not yet. She's still sitting there with you guys. She's sipping the same stuff you guys are drinking, but she's not taking full sips of it. She's just kind of nursing it, basically. Okay, so as you walk by, you're by yourself walking. You just walk by them. You leave these guys sitting at the table, I guess, and just walks out. As you walk by, you can't hear what they say, but, you know, when you cut your eyes down to see, because you hear them say something, but in the crowd, you can't hear it. They're looking at you, and the Grand just, he's just kind of like, dude, he looks at the Weequay and he's like, you are too mean. But right, you are very right.
Oh,
and you get that impression that they just had a laugh at your expense.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably assume that it has something about you stinking because you do.
And also because you're poor and you hang out with a Bothan and a Trandoshan.
Not helping.
What? I don't understand.
Not helping.
I don't understand.
And you walk out into the end of the street from here, and that's where we'll call it an end of this session.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.